Aloha everybody, this is the War Room Show and it is sponsored by thewarhq.co.uk. Why not go there now? And we will give you a wee coupon to give a little bit more money back in your pocket. The coupon code is POD21, that's POD21. And if you apply that, you'll get a little bit of a discount and get your minis in a wee bit cheaper. So why not pay thewarhq.co.uk a wee visit just now. Thank you guys, and on with the show. Hello, hi everybody, it's Paul here from the War Room. We're podcasting tonight, and we've got the Doug, we've got Danny, Brian. No, she's not saying. We've got Brian's daughter, who shall remain nameless, and myself, and we are just going to have a chat and see what comes up. So if we offend anybody or say stuff about you while you weren't listening, it's tough. So club cancelled tonight? Well, not cancelled.
No, not cancelled, but limited space tonight, so we jumped out and just came in the house.
Jumped out, came out, and it was going to be our night for practice for Cambridge Too Far. That's next weekend.
Didn't need practice. Practice,
well, now John Russell's coming from America, we've got somebody we can beat. He might not want to come for dinner now, I've asked him.
Is that beat or beat up?
Exactly. So what are you taking down to Cambridge?
I'm being nice and clean. I'm taking no filth whatsoever. I'm taking my BEF.
So that's armour carriers, isn't it, basically?
It's A9 or A10, I can't actually remember which one it is. Four carriers, five squads, with four squads of five men.
Just taking generic list, eh?
Aye.
You normally play that at dual platoon, don't you?
Aye. I usually play dual platoon, two pretty much identical 500 point lists. Aye. I normally run the two A10s.
You are being really nice there.
I'm being fluffy, isn't it? I'm taking it down, I've got all the nice wee stuff to put on my board, I've got my, because it's all based on my granddad's unit during the war. He was a company sergeant major, so I've got his cap badge on my board and I've got the red hackle and all that, so, and it's my black watch board as well. So
he's going for prizes.
No, I'm not going for prizes.
Oh,
you can't go to an England shirt without taking a Scottish Army so it'll get absolutely twatted by someday, but you know what, I'm going there for a laugh. I'm not taking it over serious. Not that I take things super serious anyway, but I am totally leaving the filth at home.
So it'll probably be the first time you've been at a sort of 80, 90 plus tournament, I think.
I've never been to Cambridge. I went down to the BHGS a couple of years back.
It's all quite a rush, but the guys down there, Steve Tibbs and the rest of the guys down there, really organise it well. Cool. And they're unlimited. Last year they were unlimited time because there was an event on the Sunday afterwards, so they had to vacate the school. Cool. And they could only get in on the Saturday morning. They couldn't set up on the Friday morning, and they did. It went really, really well. So
steroids to get that.
But looking forward, there'll be a lot of people there. Ken from the Eccentric Man will be there. Sam from the Down Order, I'm guessing, will be there.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to meeting some of these guys.
Mad Bob will be there.
I bought stuff from Mad Bob, and I listened to all the other guys. So, and I've had a bit of banter.
Juggernauts will be there.
I've had a bit of banter with the Juggernauts online. So it'll be nice to meet those guys, and I'll be giving the wee saying, so I get one of these wee markers for them.
But, that's right. What was the saying? I've forgotten now. I better get a marker, or else I'm going in a huff.
I'm not telling you, unless in case I've got one left.
Do you mean I've got to listen to their podcast again?
They might only have one less, and if I know what it is and you've done it, then...
But that's the Juggernauts podcast, a very good podcast, thoroughly recommend it.
Yep.
They come from a particular one side of view of the game.
Which is my side, so that's why I...
But it's still good, whatever you're into, it's quite good. And they have some interesting views.
Yeah. Well, I can play either side. I can play historical and I can do all that nice, or I can be the absolute twat on the other end. So it's... I can go either way, but...
Twin FT armoured.
Yeah. But if I'm going... Yeah, I was going to take my French down, but I just didn't get enough to get them painted. The list happened to be in last week. That was never going to happen, so... Otherwise, it was going to be 10 FT-17s in there. just for the sake of it.
I'm taking the Dutch. Folk have heard me going on about the Dutch for long enough. Mm-hmm. They'll be getting another outing at Adepticon. We might come on to that later. And we're joined by Danny. Danny's just come to join us recently at the club. Poor old Danny. And how are you enjoying things at the club?
I like it. Yeah, I'm enjoying it a lot.
And how do you find Bolt Action as a relative newcomer to the game?
It's quite easy to pick up. I found it. Yeah, I like the rules. It's a very playable game. Not a lot of waiting around. And
another man to come and buy stuff off me.
It's quite funny how you say, how do you like the club? And I was one of the founding members when I joined 15, 16 years ago. So coming back.
He was telling me about it. It used to be upstairs.
We basically ran
they started upstairs, didn't you?
From upstairs, and we had a wee bit downstairs, which is where the snooker table now is. And that's where all we played Magic all the time. And I went back as a Magic player. I was one of those guys who spent £60 a week on cardboard.
I suppose £6 a week on plastic.
Well, I didn't, because I'm married now and I can't, and I'm not allowed. But yeah, the club has gone from strength to strength since those days. We average week now, we're talking nearly 60 members. Got a lot of role players, we've got a lot of war gamers, a lot of board gamers, card gamers, you name it. So it's a really sort of eclectic mixed crowd. Yeah. So there is a bit for everything. But yeah, the most important part is the four action players.
Of course it is. Well, it's not so much. We were quiet for a stage and we're building our numbers back up.
We've had a couple of new guys, because obviously with Danny's come, but Johnny, then he also had Johnny come along.
Johnny,
And he's originally a Flames player and a very good painter as well. So take up the game and try and catch up with him, I think. So, yeah, it's good to see guys coming to the hobby.
But Danny, you were at our competition a couple of weeks ago. Mm-hmm. So how did you find it? Because you're new to the game and new to, therefore, to competition.
Never mind new to the game, we've only played two games before it.
Exactly. Learned a lot of rules that we taught them wrong.
I enjoyed the day. I mean, I got pretty much gobbed in every game except the first one. But
you're always safe at finish day, you'll look at last
day. It was a learning experience.
You learn more going to a tournament sometimes. Because you're learning to different people, you're seeing different aspects of it. You're like, oh, I've never thought of doing that. So sometimes, from people coming from all different areas. So when we have our club, our games in Dunfermline, we've got guys that come all the way from Aberdeen. We've got guys come from down south sometimes.
Yep.
So, the West Coast, you name it. So we do get guys that come from different, here's the word that you're going to really use, like metas. Because it is slightly different where you come from.
Yeah, they all play their own little thing. And now we've started doing the world thing, it becomes even more apparent that one country plays it different to another country. Exactly. It's weird.
It's going to be really interesting, and I'm really looking forward to that. Playing guys that obviously you've never had the opportunity or the chance to play before. And I'm sure there's going to be language barriers at times, and there's going to be like dice flying off the table, you know. But
it will be.
It's just going to be so good to play against people that play the game differently and challenge. It's going to be a challenge at times.
Well, I'm starting to get further. I've played in America a few times now, but hopefully I'll be playing in France. And then at Arnhem last year, French Nationals, I'm first reserve. So get me a place down there, Jan and the rest of the guys. And I played at Arnhem and we had Dutch, Germans, all sorts. And okay, it wasn't one-on-one, but it's funny how they say, well, that's not how we play it back home. And you're like, oh, right, okay. Better read the book then, haven't we? Yeah.
But so, again, we've been talking on various Facebook chat rooms that we've got going for all different
things. That sounds really dodgy, by the way.
It does sound dodgy, right? Various Facebook groups, but not on pages, but they're all messenger groups that we've got. So we've got the guys that we chat with, the guys who over the end side, the guys who sort of Home Guard Radio and stuff. And we've come across some things just even in the last couple of weeks going, oh, you didn't play that. Maybe they're right.
So that's quite a good point, actually. What things have we come across?
Well, we've come across the one about air observers.
Oh, yep, yeah.
So American air observers, they get to bring in two. I was always under the impression that you couldn't bring one in until the first one had
gone off, yeah.
But it seems to be that if you call for it coming in, it doesn't come in the next turn, you can call another one. So potentially two can come at the same time, which would be devastating.
Well, two could hit it at the same time, yeah.
You play dual Americans and you'd be tearing someone a new one.
If they all came off. Apart from the old one. Sky Wizard lives, Sky Wizard lives.
Well, if Craig was to play, he'd be himself three times out of the four shots, I suppose. But, yeah, could you imagine coming in and getting pinned by four planes? You'd lose all your units just on pin markers.
So was that one of the ones that Alessio chimed in on? He chimed in and won this week. I can't remember which one it was.
It might have been that one.
I think it was.
I'm not 100% sure.
So, yeah, that's an interesting one. What else have we come up with this week? I came up with one when I was making a video and thought I did the video wrong. And I've always been under the impression that a tracked vehicle, if it goes over a wall, can only advance over a wall. Yeah. But it can't. It can run over a wall.
And I would have been the same.
Because the wall is an obstacle in the parlance of the rule book.
Yeah.
And not rough ground. So you can run over. That's right. So it can run over the wall. So there you go.
And then there's the one we were discussing earlier, we'll keep ourselves just in case that wasn't. We'll find out if that's how it uses next week.
Yeah. So, we'll play it at World Team Championships to see if it works.
We'll try again, but who knows?
I'm the referee.
Right.
Oh, so Daisy.
So, hi. There's always something that comes up and goes, oh.
There is always something, isn't there? And I wonder how we get in the bad habits of playing these things the way we do sometimes.
It's not even bad habits, I think. It's like sometimes, well, for how long has it been that no one's taken an air observer because they were just you get 3 fives now, it's chased away.
Yeah.
Why would you waste your points on a type thing? And it's only when somebody actually thinks about it or decides, no. Sorry, that's the wee one playing with the dog growling in the background. It's not really growling.
It's not, it's me that's growling in the background, honestly.
So, what was I even saying? Yeah, so because no one's used the air observers for a while, we've probably just never thought of it.
Yeah, I must admit, I'm not that. I think air observers are better than not firing them off. I think they're better for distraction and kind of occupying somebody else.
I'm more than happy if people bring air observers when I'm playing my Russians. It's like a steel curtain.
You don't play Russians, you just play Soviets. Tokarovs.
Okay. Oh yeah, okay, I do. And again, I don't really play tanks, because when I play armored platoons, I play with the five gas trucks.
Aye.
So I kind of run over walls, so it's not something that I've never thought about.
But if somebody did that to me before, I'd looked at, I would have said, excuse me, you can't do that. So it just shows you, there's always something to learn.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then if we ever, the new FAC will be brought out very shortly. It's due out in March, isn't it?
Is it?
It always comes out in March, I think. Previously, it doesn't mean it will this time. So it'll be interesting to see, because Tiger Fear was going to get FAC'd, Alessio mentioned.
You know what, it's one of the, I'm sure we've mentioned this on a podcast before. I've only been on a few, but I'm sure we've had this before. Panzerfeer? We should call it Panzerfeer, because that's what you ever see it on, eh? Tigerfeer. It has absolutely screwed me in one game when I thought, you know what, I can win this game or at least get a draw, and then you fail one roll and you kind of get the unit to objective, and you're like, you're kidding me. Only for me to realise that I can't do that.
So, and of course, now Danny's playing German. Tigerfeer.
Yeah, that's right. You'll have to buy a Panzerfeer. Cheesy.
Well, it's funny, a lot of people actually sell FAC it. Excuse me, like Adepticon have sell FAC it to, it's only on veteran Panzer Force.
Well, that comes from them doing it in Australia originally, wasn't it?
I don't know whether they start that.
I'm sure they started in Australia, where if you wanted to have Tiger Fury or Panzer Force, you had to buy the veteran away.
And I think that makes sort of sense.
Does it make sense? Though?
Although, to be honest, I wouldn't put it on Panzer Force at all, personally, but...
My other thing is as well that one way of FACing it would be that if you pass a test against that Tiger, inverted commas Tiger, or Panther, or Panzer yeah. 4, whatever it is. Once you pass the test, you put a marker against that unit, so it's not scared of it anymore, because it knows it's not a Tiger. Yeah. Why should you have to keep taking a roll after roll after roll every turn? Because you can see something that you know isn't a Tiger.
I mean, I personally like the rule. Because it was supposed to make people, or give them more of a reason to play big cats. Unfortunately, it kind of, as everybody knows, and we've gone on and on and on about it, it didn't do that. Yeah. And as soon as it does the job I think it was designed to do, because to be honest, I wasn't the one who came up with it, so how would I know what they were trying to do? But I'm assuming they were trying to get us to play more different big German armour.
Yeah, but the point of playing bigger German armour, is they're so expensive. They're too expensive. And you tend to be running with German veteran troops, so you just can't get enough in your army. Especially around here, because I suppose it might be the same for us, but we go for a lot of dice. We are very high dice count in our armies. So an army coming with a Tiger and two or three other units is just not going to cut it.
So, if you're going to come with a big tank, even with Germans, it could be that intelligence officers, we see more of them coming. That's yeah, becoming one of my favourite unit, yeah. Even though I've never actually played it yet.
You seem to have already been here,
one. I do, don't I?
Intelligence officers, right. So, could just be, I'm really lazy, again, I've said this to numerous people, I buy all the books, but whether I get around to reading them or not, it's a total separate story, they look good on the shelf.
No.
So I've never actually read the books of intelligence officers. I just got what you told me about them, so...
So I could have told you anything.
You could have told me anything.
So intelligence officer, once per game, you can do a dice roll,
yeah.
Which is subjective, depending on whether he's inexperienced, very good, blah, blah, blah. And if you pass that dice roll, you can take the first dice out of the bag. So it means that something like, I can see it when I'm playing my commandos, yeah. And I've got that one peer in the army, because you've got to have something that'll hurt a tank. I can run him up, and then I've got a chance that he's going to get the first shot off, because commandos are liable to be a low dice army.
Or not to confuse Danny, you can advance him up.
You can advance him up, yes. Sir. Good point, well made.
But yeah, I can totally see that about getting that. And or it's that I really want the first place out, because I've zeroed in on the unit.
Yeah.
And you've got a mortar, you've got a heavy howitzer, or a medium howitzer, and you've zeroed in, and you really want to take that unit out. Then yeah, the intelligence officer, that's a perfect.
So it really helps veteran armies,
absolutely.
Who are going to be low dice. So if you've got a high dice count, you're going to be playing it on your dice really.
But yeah, well the chances are if you've got a much higher dice count, you get the dice out anyway. So.
So veteran armies and Germans, seeing as we've got Danny here, who's going to be playing Germans. What are you going to be playing in your German army so we can get ready to build our armies to fight you?
Arms and grenadiers, really. And then Nebelwerfer.
Oh, just because you've got to have one. Nebelwerfer is a really good point, I think.
Yeah.
And I don't know why more people don't play them, especially now that they're stronger than they were.
If I was building the German army now, it's a shoe-in. It's probably the first thing I put down on my list.
It's a hit or a miss unit, but for, what was it, about 70 points regular?
It's
if it goes off, it can ruin the guy's day. Yeah. Which is one of the things I don't like about it, is if it goes off, you know, if you were to hit 5 units and you roll 4 sixes, basically destroyed the poor guy's game.
And then you laugh manically.
You do, so you can't, it's one of those things, it's like the Stuart, you can't not take it.
No, exactly.
But you do feel just a little bit guilty if it goes off and you've taken it.
There is that element.
You know?
It's happened to me, well it's not happened to me, I've done it to Craig, where I had the I can't remember if it was Joe Stukas, if it was a runner, it was a Stukas, it was Anna Nebelwerfer. But yeah, they went in and absolutely battered them. And then you have that, I just spoiled the game for them. Right. So there is an element of that.
But you can't not take it.
You can't not take it, aye. Because, in all honesty, you're probably going to off once in the game anyway. Yeah.
So your Panzer Grenadiers, Danny.
4 squads, Panzer Grenadiers.
Are you taking MMGs with them, LMGs with them?
Yes, with some, and then I've got one squad set up more as like an assault, like closer range, like getting my objective squad. I think that's the veteran squad. I might have another one though. Nebelwerfer, a mortar, a sniper. Well, I'm not sure about the sniper.
No, you're sure about the sniper.
And Panzer 4, but again, I'm not sure about that. I'll try it out, but I feel like it's a lot of points for just that.
What is it? It's about 235 regular? 235,
240, something like that, is it?
Regular, which is actually not a bad price for a tank. You've got a 2-inch template on it for anti-infantry. You've got Tiger Fear, which is, veteran armies, it's not going to affect that much. Inexperienced armies, you're going to grind them to a halt, probably.
Yeah, but the problem is that I think I'll top out at like 10 order dice or something, so...
You know what, 1,000 points, 10 order dice isn't the worst thing in the world.
But I've got it, so we'll try it out, and then if I'll I was also looking at, I'll probably get a Puma... Or the other one, the same thing, but with the autocannon.
The Rad. Is it the Rad?
A Luchstrom or something.
You're probably looking at me, man. Thanks,
It's like a Puma chassis, but it's got like an autocannon on it.
Oh, another one. Right.
Is
that 222? No.
I think it's called the Luchstrom or something like that.
Right. I could go and get a book out, but it's...
It's okay. Right. It's us.
My ball's good at another room.
There'll be loads of people typing away on their screens now telling us what it is.
Exactly. Aye. So once you find out, put it in the comments below. No, I'm joking.
So you're going to take Panzerfausts?
Yes.
You can't not take Panzerfausts, really. Which, if you're taking Panzerfausts, I sometimes wonder whether your tank is worth the points.
Sometimes, yeah. Although, the Tiger Fury in itself,
I mean, originally I was looking at the, and now is it the Stu? The one with the medium howitzer on.
Yeah.
Aye.
But then it's so close in points, the Panzer.
It's 5 points in it or something.
Yeah, so like, is there really any, they might as well take the Tiger Fury.
And that's where we've had this discussion before, is the Panzer IV with Tiger Fear has stopped everyone using Stugs, Stus, everything, because why would you? A, it doesn't have a turret, so you've got to line it up for it, and it's at roughly the same points and cost. It doesn't have Tiger Fear. It's like, if you're playing in a competitive environment, then Panzer just ticks the boxes.
So is it basically the German tanks that we reckon are out of points sink?
I think every army's got tanks that are out of points sink, you know what I mean? So is there even that? I'm pretty certain it's been discussed on other podcasts, not ours, but yours. That there's no real basis for a point system to build in tanks. It's like, oh, that must be worth roundabout. Because...
There will be a system somewhere, but
seems to from what I could tell, you know, it could be completely wrong, but it seemed to be just to do with the armour value of it, and if it's got the anti tank, the bigger anti tank gun seems to be costed higher than the howitzers.
Get in the background music.
If somebody wants to bring a Panzer IV and take it next to any of those boots, sorted.
Oh, what a shame. Wanted to use something where we're rolling 3 dice, though.
Aye.
Or 4 dice. What's the big?
Aye.
Well, I can't remember. There's a big German thing rolling 4 dice.
On the rail tracks.
Also, I'm looking at the Flak 88, but I can't. It's just, it seems like it's so mobile.
It's a mobile, but
it does look pretty good, and it's got a big crew.
It's got a big crew. It's got gun shield. That was one of the questions we weren't sure about. Is gun shield 180 then, because it's got a 180?
I think with an 88, and this is my gut feeling, that it should only affect in the direction that it lasts
fire. That's what I think as well, but I don't know.
So if it's turned to side fire and you shoot it for this side, then they get it, but
I don't know.
Because otherwise you'd just say, well, it's just spinning on the spot, you know what I mean? It's
like, oh no, but you know, not everything is completely logical in bolt action. I know that'll come as a surprise.
No, it doesn't come as a surprise. As I keep saying, it's hysterically based.
It is. Maybe more like guidelines.
But 88, yeah.
It's a lot of points, and it's iconic. And it's not that a lot of people swear by him.
Well, it's also got flexibility, right? It's a howitzer and an
anti-tank.
But you've got to take a big, heavy old tow for it.
Yeah, you can just take horses.
Well, you could just take horses right now. Everything can be towed by a horse.
Everything can be towed by a wee pony. I was actually sitting at work today, working. But I had podcasts going on the ears, and I was listening to old editions of the Home Guard radio, and it was just at the point when I had just bought an 88. And it just said, because you look at it, the range it's got, you're almost hitting on threes all the time anyway. So if you can see it, you're pretty much hitting on a three, just based on its range.
Yeah, so it's super heavy, isn't it?
So it's bloody worthwhile.
But it's a lot of points.
But it's also taking up slots.
How many points is it?
160, I think.
160 points. But you can't get a tank for that, but then you can't move it, but... Oh. You know, a lot depends, again, because of the game, a lot's dependent on the terrain. Because you can get a nice open line of sight, which covers quite a lot and cuts down movement and things, or you can be stuck in a village and you can't see.
Smoke in front of you,
you can't see anything.
That's what I like about bolt action, is the fact that it doesn't matter what you put in your army, the dice bag in the terrain is a leveller.
Can be.
It's in the scenarios as well. If you want to go heavy on tanks, you kind of capture half the objectives. So it's like, there's so many levelers that balance out this game.
Yeah, but as always, it's usually the best players who tend to come up winning.
Exactly.
They don't win all the time.
If,
but
if you put an average army in the hands of a really good player, they always do well. So, and that's what you see the same names at the top all the time for things.
So what else for the job? So you're going to take a sniper. Yeah. Are you going to take any other anti-tank then? Or are you just happy with Panzer IV and Panzer V?
It's just that, and then I've got the truck for like the assault type squad. And then a little bike with a machine gun on it.
Well, that's a really good wee unit though.
Aye.
Isn't it? It's a fantastic look. It's got recce on it. You can turn as many times as you like.
Yeah. It's pretty much a jeep, yeah, but it's got the more moves.
Yeah,
it's got the.
It's really handy for taking objectives and stuff. Mm. Oh, you can't take objectives. You can contest them. Contest some of them.
Yeah. But it's a nice wee thing. See, what I used to do when I was running Germans, and well, I say I was running Germans, I've got three German armies sitting here ready to get painted. I used to run with 5 or 6 man squads at the back, 2 LMGs in it. So you actually had fire base, and then I would have a couple of squads which could do the forward, and then you'd set the Panzerfaust in those. So you're only having Panzerfaust in units that would be so far back anyway.
Yeah, I've done that, and I've only got the Panzerfaust on the kind of aggressive side.
I do like the two squads with the 2 LMGs in each sitting at the back.
Tell you what, you never see. You never see somebody outflanking their tank.
I genuinely was, right, because the juggernauts were talking about this.
I didn't listen to that bit. Sorry, guys.
I listened to it twice. See, I'm not one of the counters. And one of them had said that, so it was about somebody using FT-17s, and if they ever flank me, I'll just give them the game. And I was like, might take some FT-17s and flank them.
Yeah.
But, it's rare for it to see somebody flank their tank. I used to flank when I played the Soviets with my tank riders. I used to bring a tank on for the side and bring the tank riders on to the top of them, and then two squads in at once.
You're kind of taking units out of the game for 2 turns, minimum.
Well, there's no different to bringing trucks on with troops in the back of
But the troops, you're trying to get up the field without getting shot to pieces.
Yeah. So I suppose if you're taking 2 turns away from shooting a tank.
Whereas, your troops, if you're going to advance and shoot, you're not going to get your guys up.
Aye.
So with commandos, it's trying to get them up the park without having them shot to pieces before they get there to do anything useful.
I think this year I'm going to try and challenge myself a couple of times with this. Obviously, once I've got Poland out of the way, I'll retire I won't retire them, but I'll slide my Soviets into a box for a wee while.
You're going to bring out those cheesy French cavalry instead?
I'm not cheesy. Jesus.
I don't like the word cheesy, but I love using it oddly.
Anyway, with French, it's like a
mash.
I probably will play the French for a bit, because I've got so much of them. I started off with buying an army off of somebody that was unpainted for £110 or something. I think I spent about £350 in the
But we'll cut that bit out in case somebody's listening.
Well, sorry, unless he's a new listener, I'd be a war game. I've got cavalry, I've got 10 FT-17s, so I think I've got 12 of them. I've got, I had a Char-B that came with it, but then I paid some figures my pal, and he gave me a box set of 3 Char-Bs, so we're 4 Char-Bs that I don't know how I'll ever get them on the table at the same time. But
need to play Tank Wars or something.
We will have to play a Tank War at some point, but we'll have to play it on big table.
Smaller tank. Big table. Chris Brown. Chris has moved down to Kenaway.
I heard that.
He's actually moved in now.
Alright, cool.
So with a bit of luck, we'll be able to get him down and pay him huge tables.
Aye.
If we really want to.
He's got
plenty of tanks.
What we do is we just plan cannonade next year with their tank war, and that gives folk time
there we
to
do.
Start getting tanks.
Yeah, because we haven't got enough tanks.
Exactly.
Well, let's do that then.
We need to get loads of early war.
Is that a decision made?
I don't know.
What do you mean, I don't know?
I better run it. I
thought you were the boss. I am the boss. Do run it.
Chairman for life. Why not? Because we're not doing boat action at Cannonade this year because we're literally getting.
Because we could run Tank Wars. Sorry, we're just going off on a thread here. We could run Tank Wars as a participation.
We could. Because you just give everyone a tank.
Yeah.
easy.
And it's really easy because they only they can last 10 minutes if they want to bugger off again.
Oh, yeah, yeah, just move on to something else. You could almost do it like World of Tanks. We could just have loads of different tanks on the table. So you're not even thinking to a period.
Let's see your Stuart win now, mate.
Tiger for you.
Well, I'm not bringing my armoured car, that's for sure.
So there's a possibility that we could maybe do something like that. I do fancy talking some folk into doing early war Germans, so that my early war French and early war British can have a proper game instead of getting twatted by assault rifles and stuff.
The assault rifles twat you, really?
You know what I mean, I'm just talking about more modern stuff by 4 years. But the bigger things that early war stuff struggles against. You know what I mean? Early war lists, if you're playing pure early war against late war.
Early war tends to be really good anti infantry. Tends to be.
It does,
Pros and cons with everything in the
game. I never really thought about it either.
Just wait until Korea comes out. Then we'll give you a proper tank. Brian doesn't like Korea, Colin.
I don't mind Korea, I just didn't stick it in my World War II stuff. If anyone wants to play Korea, play Korea, but it'll not be in any tournaments that I'm writing the packs for.
It's funny how bolt action's adapted to all sorts of time periods, because there are guys playing Vietnam, and I've heard of somebody playing Falkland Islands.
There's modern war stuff, there's a few homebrewed packs coming out of the web. I'm just one of those things. If you're going to play a World War II game, play it 1945 and before, right? So Korea doesn't have a place playing against my
paint,
VEF.
I'm going to get a pink army or something. I'm going to annoy you one of these days, Brian.
You can get a pink army, I'm okay. As long as it's Space Wolves or Space Marines or something like that.
Pink Space Wolves, there'll be a few people turning in their graves.
You can play some Chaos if you want to do that. I'm not coming across all that thingy, but I genuinely don't mind what I play against.
I'll play grey. I'm quite happy playing grey.
I've played against plenty of grey and silver in the past.
I've had a few members in the past that never put a paint to their models. I don't mind. I used to do that. I mean, when I was playing that other game, I hardly ever
bought anything painted. The other rugby's game with shiny armour, shoulder pads.
I know, I won't play without them painted. I'm becoming a snob in my old age.
It's not even being a snob. I like having a painted army, and the reason I like having a painted army is if there's good terrain on the table, you're playing against a painted army, it's only right that you should bring a painted army as well.
It's a bit more cinematic.
It is, it's a visual aspect, because we had this discussion when we were coming up from Blythe the other week, and there was 4 or 5 of us in the car chatting away with it. And it is, it's about the cinematic thing for me. And I also had this thought today while I was sitting listening to podcasts.
Working hard.
Well, I was absolutely rounded at work. But I like switching off, put the headphones in, and it takes a while away from me and just lets me concentrate on other stuff. But I was having a thought to myself today that bolt action, although it's historically based, I see it more as commando comics.
That's what I, in my head, I've got commando comics.
To me, it's a cartoon World War II, or it's not cartoon, that's totally wrong. Comic World War II.
It's what we used to call dailies, but war comics.
Aye. Warlord and Victor for us old guys.
Warlord.
Yeah.
That's why it's called Warlord.
So why it's called Warlord?
Yeah, because John really loved the comic.
Ah, right.
So he bought the... That Warlord is actually the Warlord Comics logo.
Is it?
He bought... I'm pretty sure... I don't know where I heard that, but I'm pretty sure he actually bought the logo from them, because the comic's well defunct now. And it's the same Warlord.
I'm going to have to go look that up and compare them, do you know that?
I hope I'm right now, but that's what I heard. Whether it's true or not is a different matter. And I've never actually asked John. I might, if I ever... John, I've only met him twice, three times there.
You're best mate. I'll have to Google that, isn't it? So to me it is that style. So that's why I don't get overly precious about the historical side of things.
Dog doesn't agree.
Well, the dog doesn't agree. The big sigh there.
So, just to move along, Adepticon.
Well, this
Combat Patrol.
All right. Okay. I thought you were just
450 points. What's the dirtiest army we can make for 450 points? Not that I would bring a dirty army, but let's just suppose we were trying to make a dirty army.
10 minutes.
You need as long as that.
No. Well. obviously, you were discussing earlier with us that you're not allowed your free units.
That's right, so it's generic platoon, yeah. No free units, yeah. 450 points.
Maximum 8 dice.
And no air observers, no artillery observers.
Cool. So we obviously had the thing, so we're automatically chopped off Soviets with the free unit not getting it. The French doesn't get his free artillery, the British doesn't get his free artillery observer. Yeah.
Dutch don't get their free artillery.
Dutch
their free unit. Just
saying. All their free unit. Well, the French potentially, the way after, get the free unit as well, because I do play a lot of inexperienced troops. And again, I do that with the Soviets. So, looking at it, Americans are really quite strong because they still get the move and fire.
Yeah.
Japanese are quite strong because they get their Banzais. And you can and go an awful lot of pig stickers.
And they're fanatic.
And they're fanatic as well.
Free fanatic.
So, you could really mess with someone today with them. Then there's also a discussion of things like Gurkhas.
Yeah.
You don't get a lot of points. You don't get a lot for 450 points, but again, if you come against a lot of machine guns, try to get in again with them to go.
Exactly.
Because they're only strong when they get to close combat. So that's.
But you're not going to find a lot of HE going about.
Well, there's also the limit. You're not allowed anything more than a 2-inch template.
Yeah, you're not allowed anything more than a 2-inch template.
I'd be swinging towards Americans. The move and fire.
So if we were doing Americans, what would we take? So presumably we're going to take a sniper.
Without doubt.
And would we take him as veteran?
I probably would. Just for the survivability thing.
Yeah, I would take it for the survivability, even though it's more points.
Again, I'd probably build the rest of the list. If I had to bring them down regular, then I would do it.
Yeah.
But I would aim to have them at veteran to start with.
So, troop choice. What sort of troops are we?
I'm not thinking our choices first.
All right.
You'd have to squeeze a Stuart in there, probably, yeah.
Well, American Stuart's probably not going to get all the extras. You'll probably get...
It's like 18 dice, doesn't it?
I don't know if the American one gets the choice. Does it? Well, let's say it does. So, Stuart's going to cost you 135, 160 with the extra machine guns.
Yeah.
Although they've changed the points on them now, haven't they? So it might be 155, actually.
Right. So
recce for a recce for another 10 points if you want it.
65 points for your sniper.
Yeah.
Is it 65 for a veteran?
65 for a veteran, yeah.
50 for a regular. So, 155 if
you're... So you're at 225 already.
65
155.
That's 220.
I
was at school a long time ago. Troops wise, I'd be tempted by the Paras. Just for the stubborn as well. But again, you won't get them that way.
Stubborn's quite a good choice.
Aye.
Because you've got small squads if you want them to hang about.
Aye. And that's what you're thinking.
But then you're taking smaller squads and less dice.
You're looking at 6 and 7 man squads if you're taking airborne.
And that's going to cost you nearly 14 for airborne. Do you pay extra for the stubborn? I can't remember if they pay extra for the stubborn.
Well, 14 was, I think, 98 points, isn't it?
Yeah, it's talking 100 points of squad, so you've just got two squads and you'll be lucky to get an officer. So you've got 6 dice.
Aye.
It's your Stuart in there has bumped up the...
Yeah, so you probably have to, if you did want to have the Stuart, you probably have to drop the regular troops or something.
I mean, even if you take a bazooka as anti-tank and bung it in a jeep, you're still talking nearly 100 points.
Exactly, so...
Is it 65 for a bazooka as well? Might be more, might be 80 points for a bazooka.
Another 20-30 points, depending on what
veteran
you take it.
So it looks like
if you're going to do that, if you're going to stick a bazooka in a jeep, you'd be so just good with a Stuart.
Yeah.
Because then you've got the
anti-infantry. You're a dice less, but you're armoured.
And you've got the anti-infantry capability.
I'm thinking Harrison with his King Tiger now. Stick a big tank.
You would need to try for them.
So, does that put Germans in the picture and say, look, just take a Panzer IV, because a lot of the troops are going to be inexperienced?
Yeah, bit of that.
You know, and it's like...
And again, with your Germans, it's like... There's also another thing, if you've got Germans, just like a couple of Panzerfaust in your units and don't bother with things.
Yeah, but I'm thinking about stopping. What's the most important thing at 450 points? Is it stopping troops? You're not going to get a lot of heavy armour.
I would say stopping troops would probably be your biggest thing, because if you... If you're scenario based and you're going to capture objectives, tanks are not going to do it anyway. So it's it becomes 450 points. It's an infantry based game.
So do we ditch the Stuart then?
Probably.
So you probably ditch the Stuart, in which case.
Although the Stuart, what I like about the Stuart is the anti infantry. Where else are you going to get that amount of dice dishing out into a squad? And it's going to be smaller squads if they're veterans.
More decisions.
It's tough.
So why don't you? I know the Soviet rules don't work. So why don't you just take a TikTok?
Well, Soviet rules would work. It's just either against the squad.
Yeah, but we counted them out when we were talking this. Yes. So take a Soviet, 60 points. You've got Tokarov. Regular.
Yeah.
That's your anti-infantry. You could almost.
It's fragile though.
You could, yeah, it is, but you could almost put a dent in the Japanese side if you use it smart.
Yeah.
It's only 60 points.
And then you could rack up two or three squads of inexperienced guys.
So would you take inexperienced or would you go small squads of veterans?
Oh, I like the Horde.
Because when I was thinking about it, I was thinking two squads of regular Cav.
Yeah, you like the Cav.
Oh no, I've never played them before, but I'm thinking, oh, you can get Cav at regular, because cavalry do two attacks on the charge, don't they?
Yeah.
So you've got a five-man squad that can hurt something, and you can give them tough fighter. You get the pay a point for tough fighter. Mm-hmm. Five guys are going to cost you 15 plus 2 plus 1, 16 points a man.
Yeah, 80 points.
80 points for 160 for 2 5-man squads that can put out 10 attacks.
They can if they get into combat.
Yeah.
5-man squads are not surviving, will they? Especially if they're regular. Because remember when, obviously played French squads. I tried them at the club as regular and they got absolutely hosed. Put them to veteran and suddenly they had so much survivability. Just that extra point to kill them. So, yeah. I wouldn't run cavalry unless they were veteran. Regular cavalry have got no survivability.
So what about the Dutch? How are the Dutch going to stand up? The Dutch have got, well, the Dutch have got no anti, or very little anti-tank. So we would take anti-tank for the Dutch as a anti-tank rifle.
Aye.
Which I would take at veteran.
Yeah, because you need that to try and survive as long as you can.
Well, I would take a sniper.
Out of curiosity, they play on 4x4s.
I'm assuming so. I haven't actually looked into it. I would imagine it's on 4x4s.
That makes a difference as well. But what size of table you're playing on a 450? Because if you know that it's all going to be compressed in a 4-foot area, then that can determine what sort of weaponry you're looking at. Mortar would be tempting, eh?
But on a smaller park, it's got less use. Because you've got minimum ranges.
I was just trying to think of the fact that you can't.
And because most of your stuff, well, so are you going to take a mortar to try and take out his sniper, basically, or his mortar?
Can you take like a light howitzer or something?
Take a light howitzer. Light howitzer is about 60 points usually, is it? Light howitzer?
I'm the
ball you're on the light. Neither have I. That's why I don't know. I'm struggling. See, the other way you could go is take a light anti-tank. Which I think is less points. No, it'll be more points because it's an anti-tank. It'll probably be about 60 points, but it does give you anti-tank.
Yeah.
And it still gives you a 1-inch template.
Aye. What is it? It's plus 4 at light anti-tank, isn't it?
Yeah.
Compared to a howitzer being plus
3. A light howitzer's plus 2.
What's the convention plus 1?
All right. We can't take a medium because the medium's 3-inch template.
Is it? Yes, I see, I've stuck a light out. But then at plus 2.
These are the weighted decisions. This is like trying to decide Brexit in one night. And this is just 450 points.
Well, that's what makes it difficult. It's the fact that you're so.
You want to take all the toys.
Aye.
But it was like, remember when we jumped from 1,000 points to 1,250 as the norm? And we used to think, oh, I can't get everything in. And then suddenly, even at 1,250, you can't get anything in. Try doing the same exercise at 2,000, and you still don't take all the toys you really want to take. It's weird.
My British Expedition, the Force Army, the dual 500 point list that I basically just made up, you were looking at, for 500 points, you had an A10, a Bren carrier with the extra Bren gun, 5-man squad with a light machine gun, an 8-man squad with a light machine gun, the regular, the 10 and plus 1, got a heavy meat shield, and then they had the free observer. So to get that into 450, you're losing the observer anyway. And then you'd have to take the 8-man squad down to a 5-man and drop a light machine gun. So you'd be losing 3 guys. So you'd have one squad and a Bren carrier, you'd have the tank. No, there's a mortar in there as well, because you're on dual mortar, don't you? No, it's not. It's a light howitzer. It's a 25-pounder in there, plus a tractor.
25-pounder is a good gun, though.
It is. See, the 25-pounder and a tractor, a Bren gun.
See, a 25-pounder is 60 points for a gun, and you can use it dual, and it's 2-inch template. Aye. Oh, British are coming back into the slot.
And the A10, or the A9, I can't remember which one I've got, it's got the two guns on the front, and it's got the light and the tank gun. It is only armour 7, so it's 125 points. So it's not dear. The fact that it's got the two...
But to be honest, at 450 points, everything is dear.
It is, but... Yeah, I suppose at 125 you're talking more than a quarter of your points. But if you're putting 1,000 points, you would think twice putting a quarter of your points into a tank.
Yeah.
And I mean, so you go and buy a Panzer IV at 240 or whatever it is, and that's nearly 25% points. So, the A10, you're talking, you've got 10 machine gun shots in the front, and you've got a light anti-tank on the top. So you've got the infantry and you've got the capability. You've got the 8 shots for the Bren carrier, then the unit jumps out and does another 8 shots. So there's a bit of capability in there. You've got another squad sitting in the back, but it's dropping to 450 is only 5 rifles, really.
How many dice you got? 6?
It would be...
Officer.
Officer, tank, Bren gun, Bren carrier, the squad in the carrier, another squad, the 25 pounder, and the tow, 7 dice.
Why bother taking the tow? It's a light anti-tank.
Because it's 15 points and gives you a dice in the back. Which is
as good a reason as any.
Which is pretty much, it's up there with Japanese suicide bombs.
You can use it as transport as well, if you wanted to.
Yeah, you could. No. But it's a tractor, so it only goes 6 inches, so you don't really use it for very much transport.
Yeah. Well, no, you can take a Bren for tow.
Yeah, you can't, but then you would go forward, you would go out, squeeze it in.
Oh yeah, of course, yeah.
So it's too dear. At 500, you probably could do it that way. But that would work, because I've always seen the tractor as equivalent of a suicide bomber with 13 points for a dice and 15. Because we always used to look at, I'll squeeze a medic in for a dice, or I'll squeeze the tractor in.
Depending on the scenario, it can be quite handy to get your.
The 2 5-man squads is where that army would be at its weakest. So it's only, if you're capturing objectives, you've got 2 chances to do it, otherwise you're goosed.
Whereas if I take the Dutch, trouble is I wouldn't want to take them in experience, but say you take the Dutch, 11-man squad, 77 points, so that you're getting that re-roll.
But then you do have I suppose, as well. Instead of having, you could have the regular...
Oh, you could take...
You could have the regular unit in the carrier, the 5 guys that just jump out. And then you could have an inexperienced squad for your other one and make that a bigger squad.
Decisions. It's getting awfully heavy. I've only got about another 2 weeks to get a list, and I haven't actually entered combat patrol yet. But it's interesting. But I wonder if we should do that more at the club and say, let's come up with an odd points and we'll just play it and see. Because 450 point games would be quite good fun.
Would it be fun having a combat patrol day at the club? As in, like, not a tournament, or you get 5 games in, 6 games in. And it's like, you've got an hour to play a game. And if you can't play 450 points in an hour, then there's something wrong there.
And I'm not saying it, mate. I'm not saying it.
So, yeah, I might try that.
Even on a night, you could probably get three games out.
No, good, mate.
Well, not with us chatting, but we weren't chatting. But what we need to do is make it a mini tournament so that we actually play it and don't chat.
Aye.
Or we could just put a chess timer on it.
Did I get there with chess timers, man? We've had this discussion. Chess timers and ball actions do not work. I've never done it, but I am.
There's a reason for using chess timers.
There's no reason for using chess timers.
No, there is, believe me, Penner.
Not generally, but for a specific purpose,
the chess timer is well worth its money.
If we were doing it and we've got an hour game and we've got half an hour each to play, I can burn your clock down.
Well, I know. But
we've had that discussion. It's like, I'll just take time to decide what casualties I'm taking off and all that sort of stuff. It's your time. So, anyone that really wanted to break that system.
We could do something, or we could run it over two or three nights.
Exactly.
Play two games a night and have six games or something.
If we wanted,
there's no reason why we should score it. To be honest, we could just have fun.
Fun.
I know. No score.
Jesus.
Bring the whole game in Scotland into disrepute.
And 450 points.
Almost everybody can do it.
Danny's even got that paper already, Chris.
I do.
He's only been playing for a week.
He's Germans, that's two figures, man. For Germans, two figures.
So,
being a bit squad
decisions. Anyway, we're coming up for 50 minutes where we have been dribbling on. Nobody's going to listen to the end of it, but if you have, I'll put a discount code for the shop in. I should have said that at the start, shouldn't I? I'll say that at the start later on. And
see, I always assumed you had that recorded and it just clicked on anyway.
It is, but now you're giving away the secrets, the heady secrets of editing.
It wasn't a heady secret, it was like, there's no way you can sing that every time. So.
So, we will put this one up. Hopefully I will get this up tonight, if I stay awake. And then we'll have a Monday podcast and we'll be building up to Cambridge Too Far. We'll possibly do a podcast on the car on the way down. We'll be meeting up with John at some stage from Warlord. And we'll meet a lot of guys down at Cambridge. And we'll bring you there for a Friday and a Monday podcast next week. So,
No pressure at all.
So, goodbye from us all here at Brian's Bachelor Pad.
Okay. Did a lot of you say that? Jesus.
So it's good night from Danny, Brian, and me, and the dog somewhere. Take care, guys. Mahalo for now. So you listened to the show. Now it's time to visit thewarhq.co.uk for all your bolt action needs. And remember to use the code POD21, that's POD21, to get 20% off and free postage and packaging. See you in the next show.